more and more of our customers also give themselves ambitious goals about, you know, decarbonization, reducing waste. And it's definitely a business topic now. It's a business opportunity and challenge at the same point in time for many organizations. So for us, it matters a lot as well. It's part of our strategy, and that's why we are here.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Climate 21 podcast, the number one podcast showcasing best practices in climate emissions reductions. And I'm your host, Global Vice President for SAP, Tom Raftery. Climate 21 is the name of an initiative by SAP to allow our customers calculate, report, and reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. In this Climate 21 podcast, I will showcase best practices and thought leadership by SAP, by our customers, by our partners, and by our competitors, if they're game, in climate emissions reductions. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast in your podcast app of choice to be sure you don't miss any episodes. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Climate 21 podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Gunther. Gunther, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. My name is Gunther Rothermel, and I lead the sustainability engineering teams in SAP, so it's a pleasure to be here today.
Okay, sustainability engineering. This sounds like it's going to be an exciting episode. Great, I'm looking forward to it. So tell me, first of all, Gunther, sustainability engineering, why, first of all, is sustainability important to you personally and then more broadly to SAP?
Well, for me personally, it's probably like for most of us these days, we all encounter, you know, daily episodes or impressions where we feel that it's very important. We make a difference. We help to reduce waste in this world. You know, we help to maybe live ourselves more sustainable. So I travel less these days. I try to avoid unnecessary packaging and things like that. And I think that's something that we probably share as a feeling in the society today. So for me personally, it matters a lot. But of course, for our company and overall for the enterprise world, I would say it also matters a lot these days. And for various reasons, right? You have a lot of legal regulations coming up, but more and more of our customers also give themselves ambitious goals about, you know, decarbonization, reducing waste. And it's definitely a business topic now. It's a business opportunity and challenge at the same point in time for many organizations. So for us, it matters a lot as well. It's part of our strategy, and that's why we are here.
Okay. Yeah. I was giving a talk at an ASUG, an American SAP User Group event last week. And one of the points that I led off with, to your point about regulations, one of the points I led off with was that the EU has mandated legally binding emissions reductions of 55% by 2030. It became legally they mandated it in December, and it became legally binding just a couple of weeks ago. So it's now legally binding, 55% on our 1990 baseline. The US is talking about 52% reductions by 2030, and China is talking about net zero by 2060, but also mandating provinces to get 40% of their energy from renewables by 2030. So three of the largest global economic blocks have set incredibly ambitious decarbonization and sustainability goals for 2030. So this is, I mean, and that's the low-hanging fruit by 2030. Then after that, we've got to get the rest of the way to net zero by 2050, the next 20 years. So the next 28 and a half years from here to 2050, the global economy is going to become the climate economy. Every decision an organization makes will have to take into account the emissions implications of that decision.
Absolutely right. And also what you clearly see is that all organizations that we talk to are seeing this need, and they start to respond to this in a very structured way. So absolutely, we will have a few decades ahead of us where we will work on these reduction goals and where we have to implement those, you know, corresponding actions. Absolutely.
And you said sustainability engineering. You're not just concerned with emissions reductions. What other aspects of sustainability are you engineering?
Well, we believe we, you know, sustainability for us has numerous aspects. And you're right, the need for decarbonization and giving our customers, you know, tools and methodologies at hand to do this is, of course, a very important pillar, but it's not the only one. So another very important topic that we tackle is the whole notion of circular economy, being able to introduce more circularity, more reuse into our business processes. But also, you mentioned legal obligations. There's also laws out there for the circular economy part of the world, right? So we need to cover extended producer responsibilities in many countries where you gotta take care of, for example, your packaging waste along your business processes. So circular economy with the handling of obligations, but also the possibility to design out waste very early in product life cycles is the second very important part of our strategy. And then third, what we also see more and more with organizations giving themselves ambitious goals, there is, of course, the need and the wish to have a very holistic view and visibility into all of these goals. So what companies require, from at least from what we observe, is a way to get all data and all KPIs and metrics for all of their sustainability related activities, be it decarbonization, be it circular economy, or also very important social KPIs, for example, diversity and inclusion and so on. So decarbonization, circular economy, and a holistic view into all sustainability related activities is what we drive. And then if I may add one more sentence, of course, there's also a more classic yet still important part of sustainability. Sometimes I call this operational, when you look at environment, health and safety or product compliance, where we also add a safety and operational perspective into it with established products as well. So that's what we overall mean when we talk about sustainability management as an overall practice.
Okay, interesting. I've had a couple of guests on the podcast in the last number of weeks from the likes of JP Morgan and the London Stock Exchange. And the conversations there talked very much about the requirement for ESG reporting and the requirement for standards around that, because the investment community are looking very much at this to see, you know, A, are companies reporting? And B, if they are reporting, what is the quality of their reporting like? Because the investment community wants to take decisions based on organizations A, reporting or not, and then B, the quality of their reporting. Is this something that's translating into the solutions that you are bringing to market?
Yeah, totally. It's one of the major drivers for this holistic visibility that I tried to describe, right? So there are, you know, requirements from the investor community, from stakeholders, but also customers want to have more and more transparency into what, you know, companies are doing, where they buy the products from. So the need for, call it ESG reporting or a holistic view on your activities, is absolutely strong, and it's getting even stronger. And again, this goes across various dimensions. It touches the people aspect, it touches emissions and carbon waste. And this is, for example, why we are also supporting some of the, you know, well-known frameworks which are out there and under definition, things like World Economic Forum, the IBC group, for example, where we also work with other entities to define these standards. And of course, we want to map all of our capabilities and the data to these standards as well, so that, for example, an investor community can have a complete view into what a company is doing, right? So absolutely a strong need that we also see.
Okay, fascinating. We, in SAP, got together with an organization called the Oxford Economics Group and produced a report where we'd surveyed over 1,000 executives in supply chain and, you know, asked them you know, are they interested in sustainability? And if so, what are they doing about it? And, you know, what challenges are they seeing? And the kind of the outcome of that big picture, it's a long, there's a huge survey, lots of different questions. But one of the overarching takeaways from it is that organizations have strong ambitions in the sustainability arena, but are being held back a little by the solutions that are available to them. Do you think that's a fair representation? What in your opinion is holding companies back, if anything is holding them back?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite questions, actually, because as an engineering lead, I should better engineer products that actually address some of these challenges, right? So we did also, we did some research, we looked into that, and there are numerous things that our customers or potential users report back. One certainly is, you know, on a strategic level, what kind of sustainability activities should I do and how do these activities relate to my corporate strategy? So if you translate that, that's a need for more guidance and you know, strategic approach to it. And I think I see a lot of partners of SAP, for example, developing methodologies to help customers with that challenge, right? So for example, together with Accenture, we announced something which we call SDG Ambitions, which is a methodology to map company goals to the SDGs that are well known and out there, and help customers to find their initial way into their activities. So unclarity about strategy and where to start is one challenge. A second one, and that's highly interested, that is also reported back in our statistics, is the question on where in my business processes do I embed this, and where do I start? Because when you look at decarbonization, for example, and introducing carbon footprint, what you want to do, of course, is have carbon footprint as a decision-making factor available wherever you need it. Mm-hmm. I give you one example. Lots of companies actually source a major part of their carbon footprint from their suppliers when they buy the raw material, when they buy the goods that they need in their production process. So the act of procurement is a point in time where you would want to make use of carbon footprint as a decision-making factor, right? So, and that was just one example. But overall, how do we embed sustainability truly as a new dimension into business processes and where to start? That's certainly a second challenge. And then the third one, just to complete the list a little bit, is data integration and data quality. And I think you mentioned that we see a lot of great ambition and a great commitment, but then, of course, we have to live up to this. We got to be able to get all of the data we need to report, to improve, also to, for example, give the appropriate reports to the financial community, for example. So having the right data and the right in the right quality is certainly also a challenge that we see.
Okay, interesting. I remember a number of years ago, long before I joined SAP, I was in Sweden talking to a Swedish chemicals company who happened to be using SAP software. And I was talking to them about the use that they make of it for producing labels. And I know this sounds way off topic now, but essentially the guy was saying that they input all their data for their chemicals, all the ingredients, everything like that, and they are then able to output, just from that one set of input data, they're able to output all the labels to meet the labeling regulations in every different region in the world. And it's very straightforward. It's just one set of data, but completely different requirements to be met in different regions and different countries. And it occurs to me, and maybe I'm way off base here, you can correct me, but it occurs to me that that would be the kind of thing that organizations would require for producing sustainability reports as well. They put in one set of data, but they've got a lot of different stakeholders in a lot of regions, be it the financial community, be it regulatory requirements in different countries, whatever, so that they should just be able to give a click and out comes the report for this region, out comes the report for this region, out comes the report for this stakeholder, be it CDP, be it whomever, and straight away it's just one single operation. Is that the kind of end game that we're looking at here?
So I think you mentioned a very important part of what I call this operational sustainability functionality, and quite directly answered, there is even functionality in our existing products for example, safety data sheet generation. We have a dangerous goods management in one of the products that I mentioned, right? So where if you transport hazardous goods or different difficult chemicals that you are giving these right labels to it, you have to transport it that way. And last but not least, there is a functionality which we call product marketability, where if you enter a market with a specific offering and you have a specific packaging and that consumes chemicals and so on, you're totally right. Then you have to declare that. You have to handle it accordingly. And we clearly see the need to take this broader, not only for chemicals or dangerous goods, but basically for all packaging, for all related parts. So the answer to your point is absolutely yes. We need to declare way more along the business processes. You know, what is the packaging? What's the ingredients in it? Also, and this is debated very much also in Germany from a legal perspective, if we have to declare carbon footprint at a certain point in time together with goods, right? And then the last one, just to, relate it again to your example, when you look at extended producer responsibilities, this is also exactly like you outlined it. You generate a so-called EPR declaration for a specific region. So you say, okay, I ship this product in France, and I have the following packaging in the following quantity, and that's what I pay my recyclers and so on, and that all goes into this EPR declaration. So long story, I know, but we need to declare way more aspects of sustainability along the business processes, and this is happening big time in basically almost all major industries.
Okay. And what's our role in SAP in this? Where do we fit into this kind of ecosystem?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. When you look at some of the challenges we just started to discuss, right? The need for, embedding sustainability in business processes, but also helping customers with the underlying data integration challenges and some of the other topics we just mentioned. Then, of course, it's clear that with the breadth of SAP's offering, we have the chance to actually help our customers with some of those challenges, because we have a broad solution portfolio that spans across many different business processes with our customers. In our SAP systems, there actually is a lot of the data that is needed to address some of these sustainability challenges, right? Take diversity in inclusion, which is in our SuccessFactors systems. We have a lot of supply chain information. So overall, SAP is in a really great position to realize some of these values for our customers. Of course, we got to do it, and it's engineering work, and it needs a lot of input from our customers. But that's, I believe, why SAP has a good role to play. And it's very motivating, I have to say, for us and for the teams to be able to maybe contribute to having a very positive impact to, carbon emissions and waste reduction.
Okay. One thing I want to dig into a little, just because it's kind of a broad term which could mean a couple of things. So when you say embedding sustainability into business processes, can you kind of give a concrete example of what you mean by that?
Yeah, one example I think we touched upon already is in the procurement process. If you are a strategic purchaser and you want to select your suppliers, you have to buy your raw materials or other goods, then of course you want to take the carbon footprint of these goods and the suppliers overall into consideration. Some customers even ask us to introduce a kind of supplier rating in the systems according to sustainability factors, right? So that you make your decisions not only based on price and available quantities, but also on corresponding footprints. So that's one example which I think is highly relevant. Or take transportation management. When you plan your routes, your transportation styles and means, and then of course you also want to optimize, what does that mean for my carbon footprint? And how can I optimize that? And there are more examples like that in finance, travel management, and so on. And so we will bring this sustainability data into the processes where it makes sense and where it can provide value.
Interesting, yeah. Because I was reading a McKinsey report, which I think comes from 2015, where it said that something like an excess of 80% of an organization's carbon footprint comes from its supply chain. So I didn't think, I knew it was high. I didn't realize it was that high. So it's hugely important, I think, to your point about procurement particularly. And I think increasingly we're going to see organizations mandate that as part of their RFPs, that their suppliers report the carbon emissions associated with whatever it is that they're sourcing.
Totally true. And if I take this even one step further, Tom, then I would say, if you want to truly decarbonize your organization and your company, then you can only do this with the help of the full network, so mm-hmm. to say. Which means we are seeing more and more activities also into defining standards on how we exchange carbon emissions information, how can you share this with your suppliers, downstream with your customers. Unfortunately, these standardization efforts are still early, but I'm confident that over the next 1 or 2 years, we see lots of traction. And we as SAP are involved in several of them to actually give our customers this perspective across the whole spectrum. Yes, absolutely.
Good. I think one easy first step for organizations is probably to demand from their utility companies that they supply them with 100% renewable energy. And while that might be challenging for the utility companies, it sends a demand signal straight away. And if enough organizations do that and enough demand signals go out there, then the utilities will have no option but to support, but to build and source new renewable sources for their customers.
Absolutely. I just come from a call of a customer in UK, actually, who did this as one of the very first steps to their decarbonization strategy, right? You know, renewable energy across the board. And that gives them already a boost in towards their goals and numbers. It's not the only thing, of course, but it's a great first step. I totally agree.
Yeah. Cool. Gunther, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there any question that I have not asked you that you kind of wish I had, or any topic that we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
Well, I think we touched upon most relevant aspects that I wanted to talk about. Maybe the one thing that remains is, check out our sustainability summit, which we recently did. The material is online. You can register for it free of charge. And there we, of course, explain the topics of climate 21, circular economy, but also this holistic steering reporting we just touched upon in more detail, so that you can check it out and see what it can do for your organization.
Superb. And I'll put a link to the Sustainability Summit in the notes of this podcast. For people who want to know more, Gunther, about yourself or about sustainability at SAP or any of the topics we discussed today, where would you have me direct them?
Well, one place certainly is the summit, which we just mentioned, but then we have a sustainability community also a dedicated Climate 21 community that you could turn to, where we are. Answer questions, keep you posted on new developments. Well, and then of course we are here. If any additional questions come up that are not answered in our communities or what have you, then let us know, and we can also publish my email address or the one of our team. So we are here to have a conversation. Absolutely.
Superb. Gunther, that's been great. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about Climate 21, feel free to drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com or connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter. If you liked the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also,
Please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.